you are listening to Sheep Might Fly, a podcast of serialized fiction written and read by Tansy Rayner Roberts. Happy solstice, happy Hanukkah, and Merry Christmas Eve, depending on what you celebrate. Or if you celebrate nothing at all, I hope you have a great week. And that those who are watching the bushfire line creep across the country, stay safe this summer. It is this is the second last installment of my holiday special story, Super Spy Science Secret Santa. So today we will have chapters 5 and 6, and then next week, just in time for getting ready for New Year's, we'll have the last two chapters to finish up. If I had been organized and well scheduled, I would have started this story well into November so as to finish properly today. But then, you know, I feel like we would have been starting the Christmassy stuff far too early. So, Super Spy Science Secret Santa, Chapter 5, Q versus Cupcake. The agents often used the Q Lab tea room because it had the comfiest chairs and an excellent tea urn. But Quentin knew that they had their own recreation lounge on 5th, one of the many secret underground floors in the Secret Science Centre. You can only get to 5th by a hidden passage, which ran from the library on 7th down a slidey chute, past a series of physically demanding brain teaser puzzles, and a double toe print scanner, because everyone had an anecdote about a security system that had been foiled by an unconscious guard and a severed hand. But somehow even the most ruthless enemy agent tended to hesitate over the necessity to start hacking off someone's feet. True fact. Quentin had always known that he technically had security access to the rec lounge on 5th, as a senior supervisory scientist. Indeed, he had been marginally involved with the original design of the rec lounge. The coded flock wallpaper on the ceiling of the chute was all his own work. It contained viable sustenance, in case an agent was accidentally trapped there long enough to require food. The sprinkler system could likewise be triggered to provide water, and it was Quentin who'd suggested stocking the tanks with vitamin water, just in case. Still, there was a certain indignity to the entry method, to which Quentin had never wished to submit himself. While he appreciated the need for caution and security, he had a suspicion that many of the quirks of the slidey chute method of entry were there for pure amusement factor. Also, it seemed inappropriate for a scientist to enter the territory of the agents without significant cause. Today, he had significant cause. He needed, as a matter of some urgency, to have a conversation with Agent Cupcake, and she was avoiding the Q Lab tea room because of some non-work-related drama between herself and Fern, possibly involving their shared attraction to a very tall bartender called Megan. Quentin had not been paying close attention to the details last time Fern explained it to him. Several physically brain-teasing puzzles and a double toe print scan later, Quentin slid out of the entry chute onto the soft cushioned rug of the official agent's rec lounge. "Q," said a warm voice, like molten honey that was utterly delighted to see him. "We don't see you here often." "No, said Quentin, turning around. He was unable to remember where that sentence was going because Agent Eggplant was wearing a jumper. It could be argued that the jumper was a form of festive camouflage because the rec lounge itself was so thoroughly decked in holiday cheer, it already looked like Santa's workshop had been eaten and thrown up again by the Muppets Christmas Carol. There was tinsel everywhere. Tinsel, candy canes, sparkly lights, no less than 4 Christmas trees, comedy reindeer, and a large quilted advent calendar with patchwork pockets. In deference to the non-Christmas holiday spirit, there was also a Hanukkah display with candles and gelt and an informational poster about why Newtonmas was terribly important to scientists and atheists. Fake snow lined the shelves, floor, and Christmas trees. none of this was important, because Agent Eggplant was wearing a jumper. "Jumper," Quentin said faintly. "Oh, this," said Agent Eggplant, smiling all over his stupid handsome face. "It lights up. Want to see?" "It is December," Quentin said, recovering his spirit long enough to be appropriately stern. "It is 30 degrees Celsius outside. That is not jumper weather." Let alone jumpers that were clearly hand-knitted, featuring a veritable army of adorable kittens in Christmas hats. The jumper also had bright crocheted holly and berries attached to the collar and sleeves, which was clearly excessive, even before one got to the whole "it lights up" revelation. "Air conditioning," said Agent Eggplant, with a goofy smile that shouldn't be at all charming, even taking into account his excessive handsomeness. "Might as well be winter around here."
"I'm here to see Agent 7802/C, said Quentin, suddenly remembering, "about a personal matter. Is she around?"
"Oh," said Agent E, looking oddly downcast. "She's in the training room. Down the corridor. Turn left after the iPod hub and the shoe museum."
"Thanks." Quentin turned and hurried away, putting as much distance between himself and Agent E's festive jumper as humanly possible. He found Agent Cupcake in the training room, practicing judo throws against herself. Agent Cupcake was blonde, bouncy, and cheerful, which meant that most people assumed she was the marshmallow of the team, when in fact that was clearly Agent Eggplant. Her general bright and sunny demeanour served to cover that she was the most steely-eyed killer that they had on their books. She was a crackshot sniper, a relentlessly tidy wetworks operative, and the first agent you called in to salvage a failed interrogation. Quentin never underestimated Agent Cupcake, because he had learned from an early age that people who were pretty and cheerful were almost certainly diabolical evil geniuses. He had many sisters.
"Well, hello, Snowboots. What can I do for you?" she said now, batting her eyelashes at him, which he was pretty sure meant she was mentally recalculating how many weapons were on her person. Snowboots was a nickname from an operation several years ago, when she'd been impressed by the wardrobe Quentin prepared for her. In particular, the pair of snow boots, with enough secret compartments to hide an entire disassembled Uzi, 4 chocolate bars, and a second pair of snow boots, in case the first pair got blood on them.
I wanted to ask you for some personal information about Agent Stiletto," he said now.
Agent Cupcake went from friendly to ice cold in 0.8 seconds.
"What exactly do you want to know?" she frosted at him.
Quentin could sense this was already a mistake, but he ploughed on regardless.
"I drew her name in the Secret Santa."
Agent Cupcake took one slow, deadly step towards him. "Please, Snowboots, don't tell me you're one of those men." Quentin suspected there was no correct response to this accusation.
"I don't think so."
She took another step. The sort of man who would use a workplace social gift exchange as some kind of elaborate code to unlock sexual favours from a colleague who happens to be female. Quentin's face burnt hot. "For the last time," he said between gritted teeth, "I do not want to date Agent Stiletto. I respect her as a colleague and a friend. I just want to give her a gift she will appreciate. Gifts should be thoughtful and personal, and I don't feel I know Agent Stiletto well enough to choose something appropriate."
"Huh," said Agent Cupcake, looking at him closely. "You actually mean that?"
"Of course I mean that. I'm not a monster." She shrugged, losing interest in him.
"Make her something with pockets."
Quentin blinked rapidly.
"Excuse me?"
"Not to generalise about gender, but most people socialised female have lived their life with an insufficient number of pockets.
and adding pockets to things happens to be one of your skill sets. So, pockets, Quentin repeated. Pockets, Agent Cupcake assured him. Chapter 6, Q versus Christmas. The most efficient exit from the rec lounge on 5th was through the chimney in the false fireplace. Quentin found it easily enough because it was covered in stockings with agents' names on them, or at least official call signs. He actually thought he saw a cupcake emoji embroidered on the side of a stocking intended for Agent 7802/C, but Agent Eggplant and his Christmas jumper quickly stepped into his field of vision, distracting him from that particular detail. Quentin looked up at him. And up. Agent Eggplant's arms were full of fake mistletoe. Again, not even an Australian tradition. And a large plush toy version of the magic pudding, as well as more patchwork stockings. Are you personally responsible for all the Christmas decorations in this building? Quentin demanded. Not usually, said Agent Eggplant, with another of those sheepish grins which in no way made him less ridiculously tall or handsome. I lost a bet with Agent Stiletto. He hung up the last stocking, placed the magic pudding on the mantelpiece, and started arranging fake mistletoe across the entire display. Normally she does it, which is why, you know, no one's ever caught the perpetrator before, Quentin completed. She's much sneakier than me, generally. You're a professional secret agent. Well, yes, said Agent Eggplant. But I don't specialise in sneaky. I'm the one who draws attention and, you know, bait and such. He blushed slightly, which was in no way endearing. Seduction and distraction. While she sneaks around doing the real work. That's why we make such good partners. But she's making you complete this mission on your own. Quentin eyed the large sack of tinsel in the middle of the floor, still not properly dispersed, despite there being no square inch of this room that could possibly require further tinsel. Like I said Agent Eggplant, I lost a bet. Quentin was curious. What kind of bet was it? She dared me to do something brave, and I was not brave. Quentin smirked a little at that. Aren't you also supposed to be a professional brave person? Or does Agent Stiletto cover that part of the job too? Anyone can be brave on the job, Agent Eggplant protested. This was bravery on my day off. Very different. Utter failure. His large puppy dog eyes caught Quentin's for a moment and they just looked at each other. I see. Quentin coughed, breaking their gaze. I have to use the chimney. Oh, of course. Agent Eggplant drew back handfuls of paper chains to let him through. See you at the Christmas party, Q. Yes, said Quentin, managing not to trip over his words this time. See you there. He pressed several bricks in a coded pattern, and the secret elevator whisked him away from Agent Eggplant and his excessive Christmas jumper. Quentin had come away with two key pieces of intel. One, Agent Stiletto was, as a female of the species, likely to be responsive to an item of clothing with many pockets. And two, Agent Stiletto was sneakily excessively obsessed with the Christmas aesthetic. Quentin knew now what he had to do. He had to go against everything he personally believed in the name of Secret Santa. And if that meant a montage of overnight creativity to a soundtrack of popular holiday songs, well, no one ever said his job was going to be easy. After all that, it didn't go at all like Q had imagined it. And it certainly didn't go how Fern had planned it. A mission of great national importance went down at the last minute, meaning that several Secret Santa gifts remained under the tree in the tea room unopened. Agent Cupcake was at the party, looking distracted and concerned. Agent Stiletto and Eggplant were not. Quentin would not have thought it something to worry about at all, were it not for the fact that of all the big cheeses, Ms. N, who ran the agents, only made the briefest appearance at the party before disappearing back into her office. Usually you couldn't roll her out of the place unless she'd had at least 4 festive drinks and several helpings from the potluck dessert table. "Such a shame," said Fern, serving up the punch. They were really looking forward to it too. "Still, there's next year." She looked quite despondent about the whole thing, as if a particularly important plan had been foiled. "Yes," agreed Quentin, distracted enough that he actually let her fill his cup with punch, which was a horrifying concoction of alcohol and sugar. He drank half of it without realizing, then spent the rest of the party downing water and cups of tea to try to dilute it. He almost forgot that he had a gift of his own to open, but Fern pressed it into his hands as he made an early exit from the party. "Someone chose it specially for you. The least you could do is open it," she chided, "even if they aren't here." "Secret Santa is supposed to be secret," Quentin told her sternly. Fern threw up her hands. "I don't know why I even try to help you, Quentin." Quentin held on to the gift until he was alone in his lab. It should be safe enough to do so, as Bruce and Barry had already gifted each other with exploding socks, Bruce to Barry, and an exploding beer hat, Barry to Bruce, which lessened the odds that Quentin's gift would blow up in his face. He opened it and stared at what was inside. Then he wrapped it up again, very quickly. Secret Santa had bested him this year. Christmas 1, Q 0. Thanks for listening, and I will see you next week for the stunning tinsel-covered finale of Super Spy Science Secret Santa.